This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago Sports Betting Show.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Saturday mornings on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Gamblor gets the worst of us. Gamblor is the worst, but every once in a while it all falls our way. If you listen to Early Odds right here on 670 The Score, last night at 6 before we threw it to Zach Zaden and for our pregame show, we discussed pitching matchup alone. It was advantage White Sox. Abreu's history versus Lester with an OPS of 1,000. The home run prop nearly 4-1. You get the homer and the win plus 650. Clippers a winner. We talked about all that. Personally, the Flyers, the Canucks advance. So I hit a couple of series parlays in the NHL. Remote registration is back in Illinois. It was a great day. Great, great day. Happy Saturday morning, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Appreciate you hanging out here every single Saturday morning. Yeah, signups for sportsbooks online are back as of last night. We'll have the details in just a few moments. We'll speak with a Vegas bookmaker about the NBA playoffs and the golf going on this weekend. And we'll get some horse racing picks. Cubs and Sox go at it under the lights once again. 6:15 pregame, 7:15 first pitch. Pitching matchup, Kyle Hendricks versus Reynaldo Lopez. Rick Renteria made that announcement last night. Not every sports book has a line posted on this one. Since the Sox starter was TBA for so long and they've got hours and hours until this game starts, could see it at some spots. Cubs minus 125, White Sox as a plus 143 dog. I did see that listed a few spots, but it might not be available for all you guys out there. So coming off the 10-1 stomping by the Sox, hitting six home runs last night at Clark and Addison. First thing you have to look at this game is you have Kyle Hendricks at the friendly confines. You look at his home road splits every time. If you're going against Hendricks, that's something you're going to have to worry about. He has a 2.58 career ERA, not a small sample size like we have to keep saying again and again with everything going on in 2020. No, 2.58 career ERA. It's in that 3.754 range once he goes on the road. Now, Reynaldo Lopez coming off shoulder inflammation, pitching for the first time in 3 weeks, only had that one appearance against the Twins. He was pulled in the first inning, has one career start against the Cubs. So not a ton to go on here in this matchup. Worth noting, Jose Abreu against Hendricks, 7-14 in his career. A 500 average, 1,100 OPS. Tim Anderson, he's 4-10. But like I mentioned, it's always tough to make a call when you don't have a price or a total or many props at most of the sports books at the moment. But it lines up advantage Cubs just based on this pitching matchup alone. The Sox will not hesitate to pull Lopez if he appears to be in some trouble early in this game because the Southsiders have a rested bullpen. Keuchel going 8 last night, Giolito going 7 innings a couple of days ago against the Tigers. You know, Renteria probably has a short hook on this one. Every game, we're 2.7, and now you're adding into it that the White Sox are in the playoff picture. They can't really mess around. As always, with making a wager, I don't care how much you like a team, the price has something to say about how you're going to go about betting that game. Now, speaking of price, if you had remote registration returning to Illinois as a long shot, you were wrong. When we get a Friday news dump, it usually has a negative connotation. That was not the case yesterday. Once I took a look at Jeremy Kudon's Twitter feed, at Jay Kudon, he's a partner at Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe, and he joins me on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline right here on Early Odds Sports Radio 670, The Score. Because Jeremy Kudon's Twitter account brought it to our attention that Governor Pritzker issued an executive order to suspend in-person registration for the second time during the pandemic. This comes one day after retail books number 5 and 6 opened in Illinois. And Jeremy, welcome to 670 The Score. Just to give us some background so we understand your role in all this, how exactly did you find out about this latest executive order to go back to remote registration? And what do you do? How are you involved in legalization in Illinois?
So for the past 5 years, I've represented FanDuel and DraftKings, the two at the time daily fantasy sports operators, still daily fantasy sports operators, and now the nation's largest mobile sportsbook operators. I help them coordinate their state legislative campaigns across the country. So all 50 states. Illinois has a special place in my heart. I've probably spent more time in Springfield and Chicago than anywhere else in the country over the last 5 years, trying to, you know, pass legislation that would clarify the legality of daily fantasy sports. And then more recently, the Illinois Sports Wagering Act. We were heavily involved in that. And so we were involved in every aspect of it. And it was a roller coaster to pass the bill. And it's been a roller coaster since it was enacted.
What was the tipping point for Governor Pritzker to change his mind on this issue?
You know, I think you'd have to ask the governor. I got the news from one of my local lobbyists, Shawda Kramer, and who's a big fan, by the way. He just sent me a text saying, "I think this is going to make your day." And then he sent a PDF of the order, and it was surprising because no one else had seen the order. I'm sure that it had been circulated to stakeholders, or at least to the lobbyists for the stakeholders. And so when I got it, I mean, look, a number of things have happened over the past 3.5 weeks since on-site registration suspension was not renewed. And one of those things, of course, was you and your listeners, you know, and really taking the ball on this, Joe, and explaining to people how absurd it was to be forcing people to go to a casino right now to sign up for an account. There's nothing wrong with a casino. People, if they want to go to a casino to bet on, play slots, whatever they want to do, God bless. But they shouldn't have to go there if you just want to sign up for something that you do on your phone. I think that you made that point, you know, compellingly. I think that your listeners, I imagine many of them sent emails to the governor. I believe the governor received over 2,000 emails in the last 3 days from Illinois residents asking him to reconsider this. And here we are.
Well, you're far too kind, Jeremy, and there are many people out there, believe me, that would strongly disagree with you that were saying I was not compelling, and it was absurd what I was, the message that I was trying to push out there again and again. But you want to talk about mixed messages that we were getting from Governor Pritzker, stressing health and being safe out there, and don't go to Missouri. Do not cross the border. You're going to put our economy at danger if you go into Missouri and then you come back to Illinois. But also, by removing remote registration, he's telling you, well, if you want to use DraftKings, don't take a 20-minute drive over to Indiana, travel 4.5 hours to the border of Missouri. It just didn't make any sense.
I think that we got, at least for the next 30 days, we got to the right result. And I'm hoping that, you know, people will continue to let the governor know, thank him for doing this and let him know how important it is to keep this executive order in place for the future. As long as there is COVID-19, until there is a widely available vaccine, no one should be asked to have to go to a casino or any place, a large public place, to sign up for something that we can all do on our phones. And it's just, I think that we've gotten to the right place now again, and I'm hoping that we can move beyond politics and just, you know, keep health and safety in mind going forward.
This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. My guest, Jeremy Coudon, partner at Orrick, Herrington and Sutcliffe. He's been working with DraftKings and FanDuel for many years, and he loves our state because he's been here a whole lot, making many special trips. People want to know also what's next. This executive order, I believe, expires on September 19th. So this can go away right after the football season starts. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, I think, in fact, you know, if you follow when the orders are issued, the next one could come out right before. He usually does it 5 days before they expire. So it's very possible the next one could come out right before either week one or week two of the NFL season, which would be, I think, a shame. I believe that what we need are for people to continue to let Governor Pritzker know, great call on this, great move. Thank you for doing this. Please keep it up. Please keep, you know, allow us to register remotely during COVID-19. And then I think the real push is going to be in November or December when the legislature comes back into session for a little bit of time. Let's amend the law. Let's make Illinois look like Indiana. I mean, we've never had to say Illinois should follow Indiana's lead here, but let's look like Indiana. Let's look like New Jersey. I mean, yeah, there's all these states, West Virginia. If West Virginia can get it right, Illinois can get it right.
What's the best way for people to contact Governor Pritzker or to contact his office to voice their opinion?
You know, I wish I had the email address right in front of me, but it's available on the web. It's just email him directly. That you know, he has a link, and I'm sure, Joe, you can later find it. I just unfortunately don't have it on me.
No problem. The other big question is what's next? Right now, we have two mobile books. You have Bet Rivers and DraftKings and four retail books. Those should be online fairly soon. You do work with FanDuel. We find out that they're going to be hooked up with Paradise Casino. Are they going to be here before football season?
I sure hope so. I think that that's really in the hands right now of the Illinois Gaming Board, and I believe it's imminent. So I'm hoping people will sign up for DraftKings, and I'm hoping that they'll sign up for FanDuel, and they're both incredible apps. You know, they've been incredibly successful in New Jersey and other states, even when they're not the first in. Bet Rivers was the first app in Pennsylvania. They had about a 3-month head start, and then FanDuel and DraftKings came in. I just think that the users are really going to enjoy the experience on both apps. It's hard for me to be a big Bet Rivers supporter just because I feel like we would have remote registration from day one, but for, you know, their own interests.
Understood. Yeah, for a while it felt like every decision was benefiting one place, but now they've reversed that, at least for the time being. You mentioned Indiana, the success that they've had. Same in New Jersey in the industry. I've heard positive things about Colorado. If Illinois can get it right, can this state have the highest sports betting handle in the country?
Yes, that's what we told legislators. Joe, it's important for more than one reason. It's important because, like, by having a remote registration, you're going to maximize the amount of revenue, tax revenue, that the state will receive. And right now, nothing is more important than tax revenue. By limiting this to having people go to a casino to sign up, we're talking about at most $1 million a month in tax revenue, maybe $1.5 million. What Governor Pritzker did probably generates $8 to $10 million of tax revenue. And as I've said to others, that's money we can use to give kids laptops in the Chicago public schools. That's money we can use for nurses, for hospitals. Illinois needs that money right now desperately. We shouldn't, you know, with the safety issues and others, I think this is a great day, not just for FanDuel, DraftKings, and mobile operators and you know, people who love the entertainment of betting on sports, but it's also a great day for people, you know, who are looking for the state to be able to do more and have more revenue to do that with.
Jeremy, there just wasn't an argument really on the other side. When you look at the economy right now, which Pritzker has been stressing to hold up Indiana, to help them, and they just passed $1 billion in bets, and to also help the offshore market, which you're trying to eliminate, this was the only way to go, and hopefully it stays.
I totally agree. And if you look at New Jersey, and I think the same is true of Indiana, I mean, Indiana has a bunch of casinos. No one said, hey, we should have in-person registrations to benefit anyone because we want people to come in. They understand that having a mobile device that you can use, so DraftKings can now market for Casino Queen in East St. Louis. I mean, this is better for the casinos to have more people engaging with the app and seeing the name Casino Queen, and there's ways to cross-market. I think it's a win-win. I don't understand in-person registration. I never will.
Why can't we bet on golf?
I think that's the next good thing coming down the pike. I think that that's going to happen any day now. I should say, full disclosure, the PGA Tour is also one of my clients, as is the NBA and Major League Baseball. But I think I tweeted this. That was never, I mean, it was never even discussed, like, as part of the legislation. I think that there's been a misconstruction of something that was a positive policy idea, which is we don't want to bet on, like, amateur, like, I don't know, an amateur golf tournament, as opposed to saying, you know, the PGA Tour. That it made no sense. So I believe, I think it may be as early as this weekend, but I think that's going to happen any day now.
And that's important because the BMW Championship will be here in Illinois next week, and it'll be a really bad look. Yeah, I know that there was a request on the 23rd of last month with the IGB, and it takes 30 days before they can approve anything. Were all these wagers taken illegally that happened before the PGA Tour was removed from Bet Rivers and now DraftKings here?
Yeah, the thing that people don't really fully understand is once a market goes is legal, when you limit it in a way that makes the illegal market something that you want to engage in. Like, in other words, if you can't bet on golf, all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm betting anyway and I want to do this. So you all of a sudden you're downloading one of their apps, one of these illegal apps. And I think it's on, you know, the regulators should do everything they can to create an app that is more conducive and more attractive to people in Illinois than what's on Bovada or, you know, mybookie.com.
Jeremy, that's exactly what I had to do as a sports bettor. I had to go back to the offshore market, which I thought I was done with, and I removed all my money just so I can bet on golf because I'm a big golf fan, and I think it's the best live betting sport out there.
That's so great. I know that the PGA Tour, which, you know, with all the integrity protections that Illinois passed, some of the best integrity protections, you know, required official data, all of those kind of for in-play bets. It's a great bill from the league's perspective. But I mean, the notion that you couldn't bet on the PGA Tour, which was one of the only U.S. sports available over the last 3 months.
Yeah, it's wild.
So I'm glad to see that's going to be addressed. And Joe, you can bet in the legal market now, which is what we all intended when we passed this bill last May.
Yes, yes. We are just days away from that. At least that's what it sounds like. It's been tough to get an answer, but Jeremy knows more than anybody else that I've talked to. Jeremy Coudon, partner at Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe, enlightening the Score audience this morning on Early Odds. What is happening behind the scenes? And we're all very excited that remote registration is back. Thank you for your time this morning, Jeremy.
Thank you so much, Joe.
And to follow up, if you'd like to tell the governor to keep remote registration, certainly during this pandemic, the best thing to do, just Google Contact Governor Pritzker, gives you a direct link, and then there's another tab on the right, click Voice and Opinion, quickly type something out in a minute, and you're done. Coming up next, the NBA postseason, Northern Trust with Dustin Johnson, your leader, and $1 million football contest going on. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturday morning, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging out. And, you know, one of the things I'm fascinated with, every time I go to Las Vegas, go to the different table games, meet different workers there, and usually on their nameplate, you see which city they're from. I always find it fascinating, the story behind that, how certain people end up in Las Vegas. Well, let's ask our next guest, Jeffrey Benson. He's a sportsbook operations manager at Circus Sports out in Nevada. He's on Twitter, at JeffreyBenson12. Jeffrey, I know you focus a lot on golf and the NBA right now, but tell us a little bit about your backstory. How'd you get out there?
Yeah, so grew up, I'm an East Coast guy, grew up in Virginia, you know, played sports my whole life. Later, in my high school days, you know, kind of got into the gambling side of things, you know, really enjoyed, you know, watching sports, betting on them, you know, what was going on in the market. And then obviously, you know, what was going on in Las Vegas as well. So, you know, after college, I was fortunate enough to come out here at 21, been in the industry almost 10 years. Started to work at stations as a ticket writer, kind of worked my way up to a supervisor. I've known Matt Metcalf, who's our director, you know, since I've been out here. And then when he had the pleasure of, you know, taking the director job, he was fortunate enough to bring me along and You know, getting to work for him and Derek Stevens, you know, as we try to kind of, you know, change the industry and make it sports betting the way it should be. You know, that's kind of how I've ended up in a management role and, you know, where I'm currently at right now with Circa Sports.
And I know Circa has been expanding throughout the country and we're up to 6 sports books with more to come in Illinois. I'm hoping that one day there's going to be news and you're going to say, hey, Joe, guess what? Circa's coming to Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we were excited. We've been operating. I don't want to say open because we don't have any brick and mortar sports books out there. But we've been operating in Colorado for the latter part of 2 months. Certainly excited to bring our product, you know, to the great state of Colorado. And, you know, obviously, being an East Coast guy, you know, I'd love for us to have some, you know, books not only in the Midwest, but on the East Coast as well. So, you know, some of these rules and regulations kind of ease or become a little bit more consistent on a state by state basis. We focus a lot on remote registration and remote funding, which is why we made Colorado, you know, our first foray. But we'd certainly love to be in, you know, a lot of these other states. And obviously, you know, time will tell as, you know, they kind of work on, you know, what those rules and restrictions are. Obviously, I know I log in and you guys talk about how you can't bet golf and that would just drive me bananas. So, you know, hopefully we're out there one day and you get to bet into our golf numbers because we certainly think they're the best in the world.
We're hoping that golf returns next week. And what do you know, the BMW Championship will be taking place right here in Illinois. I want to talk about some of the cool contests you guys have going on at Circa Sports in a little bit. But let's focus on the NBA and golf, since that's what you're doing at Circa Sports on a daily basis. The ratings have been down. Some surprised. I'm really not all that shocked. When you look at the start of these games, it's still the morning by you. It's just hitting noon over here in Chicago. How's the action been? I know the TV ratings are down a little bit, but how's the action on all these games?
Yeah, action's been good. Obviously, you know, when you, like last night, you know, when you get a Laker game to kind of close out the night, you know, you'll probably get a little bit more action on that than, you know, maybe say a Toronto-Brooklyn game that starts here at 10 in the morning. You know, we're certainly writing good to it. You know, certainly, you know, the handle's good. Obviously, it's much better than, you know, say booking, you know, Korean baseball or something like that when, you know, there wasn't much to bet on. You know, I was in the risk room yesterday and, you know, the guys back there, they were kind of talking and they certainly made a good point when they said the interest from the public is maybe not what it was before because you don't have a lot of these narratives, the scheduling, all that kind of stuff. It just seems like it's kind of the same game over and over and over again, just because they're playing a bubble and there's not too many, you know, variables there. So somebody made that point. I thought it was certainly interesting. And, you know, like you said, you know, the TV ratings are down and, you know, that certainly might have something to do with it.
I find that fascinating. So each of these series were 2 to 3 games in. Have there been any adjustments since there's no home court advantage from the game to game on the sides and totals?
With the news that Mike Conley was leaving the bubble for the birth of his son. So I think, you know, you saw some interest and movement there towards Denver. And when I was looking at, you know, the odds and what it went off for this game, you know, Utah's closed a small favorite. I believe it was -1 here at Circa. So certainly a little bit of bounce back there in terms of people siding, you know, or the market siding with Utah after what, you know, how good they looked in game 2. Obviously, you know, Milwaukee off of a loss, you know, had a great performance. They ultimately ended up covering the number. Then I certainly think you saw a lot of people back the Lakers after a lackluster game 1. So certainly a little bit of that zigzag theory kind of coming into play. But like you mentioned, you know, it's a neutral court. You know, everyone's playing in the same arena. So just kind of interesting to see how the market's adapting to these teams and then ultimately how the bettors are betting them.
This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. My guest, Jeffrey Benson, the Sportsbook Operations Manager at Circa Sports out in Las Vegas. Jeffrey, let's go over the 4-game slate we have today. I want to get your thoughts on each of these games and how you expect the number to move, if at all. Coming up at noon, we have the Bucks and Magic. That series tied at 1. Milwaukee, a heavy 12-point favorite with a total at Circa Sports of 226.
That number closed 13 and they ended up winning by 15. You know, I'd probably anticipate that number to stay pretty static. You know, I think some of those bigger games or some of the games in the Western Conference have gotten a little bit more action as opposed to some of the, you know, 1-8, 2-7 matchups in the East, which aren't necessarily as competitive.
Right after that, we've got the Pacers and the Heat. Miami out to a 2-0 series advantage. Heat favored by 5, a total of 214.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've seen quite a bit of interest, obviously, in this Heat team, especially to win the East once the Gordon Hayward news kind of broke. So certainly a little bit of Heat interest. Obviously, they've looked good in the first two games. You know, I think the Pacers have really struggled without Domantas Sabonis, you know, with what they're getting out of Victor Oladipo. So, you know, I think that Pacer team, you know, they were hot early there in the bubble with what TJ Warren was doing. But obviously they haven't played that well in the first couple of games of the series. And it's been a lot of Heat action over the counter and on the app.
The way the Heat have played so far in this series, do you think it's more about them matching up well with Indiana, or they're just out talenting them? And as you mentioned, the Pacer injuries are piling up.
I think it's more of the Pacer injuries piling up. You know, I think Sabonis, like I said, was a really, really big loss for them, you know, not only defensively, but also offensively. And, you know, I don't know that Oladipo is all the way back yet. So they were certainly leaning on TJ Warren, you know, early in the bubble. And he was, you know, him and Lillard were kind of the talk of, you know, the bubble in terms of, you know, what they were doing from a scoring perspective. But I certainly think, you know, those injuries are certainly catching up to the Pacers at this point.
Many thought going into Houston, Oklahoma City, that going into the playoffs, that this one would be a toss-up if any of them were. And what do you know? The Rockets won the first two games. Rockets sit here as 3-point favorites with a total of 224. How do you handicap this one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, I think a lot of people and the market in particular saw it as a toss-up. But I think after the performance in game one, you know, I think you've really started to see a little bit of Rocket money start to come in. Like you said, they're, you know, 3-point favorites here. But you saw some support for them in game two and certainly in game one from, I think, both the sharps and the public. It'd be interesting to see if, you know, the Thunder can kind of steal a game and get back into the series, especially without Westbrook. But it was kind of interesting watching game two. You know, the Rockets took, you know, a playoff record in terms of 3-point attempts. But they were ultimately able to kind of get the win with their defense, which I thought was certainly impressive.
Primetime game, of course, you've got the Lakers and the Blazers. L.A. with that bounce back performance in game two. Lakers favored by 7.5. I believe that's a tick higher than what we saw in games one and two. Total of 225.
Yeah, game makes me kind of nervous. Lillard left in the third quarter last game. You know, Anthony Davis just had a stellar performance there, but he dislocated his left index finger. And obviously you could see some frustration on his face as he walked off the court. So a lot of, you know, how this game's going to play out is how he's able to deal with that injury. Game two, the line was 6.5. Ticked up to 7. I think it closed maybe 6.5 minus 15 at circa. So, you know, I think this game will probably write some good two-way action. I think you'll probably see the public, you know, taking the Lakers after how dominant they looked in game two. And I think, you'll probably see the sharps coming in on the Blazers plus the points. You know, if I had to play the game, I'd probably be playing the Blazers plus the points. But, you know, ultimately, I'd like to see, you know, how they kind of look with Lillard before getting involved myself.
Okay. You mentioned that at the moment. The Blazers are a lean there, Jeffrey. Is there a favorite side or total of these four games today that you like?
Not particularly. Like I said, you know, I think kind of zigzag theory. You know, I ended up playing the Bucks yesterday in addition to the Rockets. So certainly just kind of interested to see how these games play out. But if I was kind of looking at the board and trying to make a bet, I'd probably be looking at the Blazers plus 7.5, seeing if it could get to 8 there. I think that's a good spot to back the Blazers in.
Jeffrey, a lot of the noise that we heard after these game ones was, oh, see, look at this bubble basketball. It's wide open. The chalk isn't, it's not going to be that easy for them to move on, especially with the Bucks and Lakers in action today. Was that a bit of an overreaction? I kind of feel like, you know, if you look back over the years, there's a lot of dominating teams that won championships that were involved in numerous six-game series.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, being in the bubbles, you know, a little bit of a different consideration, you know, than being down 1-0 kind of on your home court and, you know, having the support of the fans. But, you know, I think it was a little bit of an overreaction, just people being real quick to write off the Lakers, to write off the Bucks, and they didn't perform well in game one, but you know, I think they certainly came out, you know, game two and certainly showed their, you know, their talent and why they were a number one seed. So, you know, there's a little bit more variance here in the bubble, but, you know, I think some of those seeding, you know, as you play more games is certainly going to potentially hold true.
Joe Ostrowski with Jeffrey Benson of Circa Sports on Sports Radio 670, The Score. So let's move on from the NBA over to golf. And we've got the Northern Trust going on. We're halfway home so far. And Friday was all about Dustin Johnson. He wasn't able to get to the 59, even though we were on 59 watch all afternoon, the way he started 11 under par through 11 holes, but he wasn't able to get there. Scottie Scheffler did get a 59 along with Cam Davis. That's the top of the board. Those are your top three golfers heading into the weekend here. Any takeaways that you want to address after what you've seen? I mean, this is a tournament, Jeffrey, as you know, where the winner is usually a top 20, 30 guy. It's not a Jim Herman coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think specifically in these playoff events, you know, I think favorites have really held true. And when you're looking at the leaderboard, and you got Scheffler and Davis and Danny Lee and Russell Henley and Harris English up there, some of those, you know, maybe lesser names, you know, that's certainly something interesting to see. You know, the course, you know, played pretty soft today in terms of, you know, having some really, really low scores. But, you know, Scheffler went out, shot 59, you know, credit to him, 12 under. Everyone was maybe paying a little bit more attention to DJ. Certainly great to see him kind of rounding into form. Obviously, it's been tough out of the break for him, minus his one win. You know, I know he had a withdraw and he had a couple, you know, 80-80s. So certainly interesting to see him, like I said, you know, have a really good performance through the first couple of rounds. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if he's able to kind of continue that into the weekend. You know, it's kind of interesting here at Circa Sports when you see a lot of these guys, you know, maybe if they're longer names or favorites and they kind of jump up the leaderboard, you know, whether that's, you know, through the first couple of rounds or after round three, you see a lot of interest in them, you know, whether that's, you know, in the Masters market. So, you know, we took a bet, you know, at 16-1 on DJ kind of after he was 7 under through five holes. And that's been the kind of the tradition here with us. You try to see people try to get ahead or, you know, take advantage of books, not necessarily moving during the week on some of these tournaments. So we try to be really aggressive. And if some of these guys go to the lead, you know, we'll maybe chop them down a little bit in the Masters or any of these other golf pools that we have just so that we don't have a lot of liability stack up.
Live betting, so conducive to golf, makes it so much fun. If you have a sweat on Sunday, a lot of times halfway through the tournament, you could see guys just a couple of shots off the lead. If they're not a big name, you could still find them in that 50-1 range. Halfway home, are there any names that you're keeping a close eye on?
I do know going into today that Scottie Scheffler, he was 150-1 before he shot 12 under. So, you know, like you said, I think having the ability to bet live on golf, you know, for us, we do adjusted odds after every single day. So, you know, if you do find guys who are maybe gaining strokes off the tee or on approach and they're maybe losing strokes, you know, around the green or putting, and you think some of that's going to neutralize, you know, I would certainly be looking to target guys who are gaining strokes off the tee and on approach because I think, you know, if the putter heats up, you know, they have a really good chance to go low during the weekend. And I think he's, like you said, you saw that with Jim Herman when he went 61-63. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, here at TPC, you know, you're going to have a lot of guys here in the mix. It looks like a pretty stacked leaderboard, depending upon how DJ finishes up today. It looks like he did finish up at 15. So, you know, you certainly got a glut of guys here in the mix, you know, two shots, three shots, four shots back. You know, I'm certainly maybe looking at a Siwoo Kim who shot 700, had been playing really well, wasn't able to close last weekend. You know, you got a guy like Matt Wolf who's been really, really playing well out of the break. So certainly some guys, you know, who might be a few shots back that are kind of stalking. But I think the tournament sets up for a really great weekend and it'll be kind of cool to see if DJ can continue his great round from today and, you know, parlay that into some weekend success.
Yeah, Jeffrey. And that was important. So I want to hammer it home what you just said about the putting and what we just saw over the last couple of days. It actually fits that because DJ struggled with the putting on Thursday, had a pretty good day. He was still near the top, but then he was hitting everything in those first 11 holes on Friday. And what do you know? He shoots a 60 for the first time, and now he's at the very top. But yeah, that is something to keep in mind. If they're gaining strokes, but it's just not falling for them on the greens, at some point, we see it happen again and again. Maybe it is going to happen.
Conversely, you know, if you have a, you know, absurd round with a putter and you gain, you know, 3, 4, 5 strokes right. with a putter, way more than the field, and you're not traditionally a good putter and you think some of those stats will normalize, you know, those might be guys I would look to fade in, you know, round by round matchups moving forward for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah. Terrific advice for golf betting. Now I know it's a big weekend over at Circus Sports in Nevada. It is contest weekend. Well, tell us about the contest, because our audience here in Chicago doesn't know a ton about it. I participated in the Circa Million last year, and I'm really excited about this second contest. I'm hoping, Jeff, maybe someone can hook me up over at Circa that I can get signed up again, because I guess we're going to have football.
Yeah, it certainly looks like we're going to have football. We're certainly excited doing the Circa Million 2 and then the Circa Survivor. So it's for the Circa Million 2, basically it's $1,000 to enter. You can have up to 3 entries. And you're picking 5 games against the spread every week. The really cool thing for us, you know, as opposed to some other contests, you know, around town or in the world, is we're guaranteeing $3 million. So basically, regardless of the amount of entries we get, I believe when I started the interview, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 375 entries, and we need 3,000 to break even. You know, there's a very good chance there's going to be an overlay, which is, you know, plus EV, positive value, you know, for any gambler, or contest aficionado. So, you know, I would certainly obviously implore people to sign up for the contest because, you know, you do have a really good chance at earning some money and winning some prizes. And you're probably going to do so with an overlay attached to that as well. So first place will get $1 million, second place, 300,000, third place, 100,000, and so on down. We pay the top 50 places. And then we'll pay last place, presuming you pick, you make 5 picks against the spread all 17 weeks. We will pay last place or the booby prize, $100,000. So between that and the top 50, that's a guarantee of $2 million. And then the really cool kind of wrinkle we do is we pay the quarters. So weeks 1 through 4 is a quarter, weeks 5 through 8 is a quarter, and so on and so forth. You know, a lot of contests, you can be out of it, you know, right away. You know, you have a bad couple of weeks to start the season, and it kind of knocks you out. But with the quarterly component, that allows you to really continue to play and certainly earn some life-changing money if you're able to win a quarter come in second. So for us, we do 150,000 to the first place in each quarter, 75,000 for second place in each quarter, and then 25,000 for third place. So that's kind of what the Circa Million 2 summary is. And then I'm really excited that we get to offer a Survivor contest this year. I know yes. Derek's a big proponent of it as well. It's something that you know, people play on a national scale as well. So this year for the Circus Survivor, it's $1,000 to enter. You can have a maximum of 5 entries. We're guaranteeing $1 million to the winner, regardless of the number of entries we get. So I believe when I started the interview, we were somewhere in the neighborhood of 150, 160 entries in the Survivor, if I'm not mistaken. So certainly a pretty hefty overlay there at the current moment. Basically, it's a traditional Survivor where you pick a team to win every week. If they win, you would advance to the next week. The wrinkle is that you can't use that team again. The other kind of cool component that Derek really spearheaded was the fact that we're going to make Thanksgiving a standalone week. So for us, our Survivor contest will be 18 weeks. Thanksgiving week will be that 18th week. So you must save one of those 6 teams that play in those 3 games and make one of those teams available for your selection on Thanksgiving week. And presuming somebody goes 18-0, the bonus for that extra week would be that we would pay $1 million out of our own pocket, not from the original prize pool, for any contestant or contestants that go 18-0.
Love, love, love Survivor pools. I think it's a great addition to the contest that you guys have over there at Circus Sports. Jeffrey, I know how it is with your bosses. They like to party. So just try to be careful and it's probably survival weekend for you, right? Like, we're talking about the Survivor contest, but for the employees at Circa, it's about making it through the weekend.
Yeah, like I said, you know, this is we'll certainly have a rush, you know, at both counters here at the D and the Golden Gate. You know, we'd love to do 500 plus signups, you know, get a lot of people through the doors, kind of experiencing downtown Las Vegas, everything that we're doing. You can certainly see Circa, you know, that's on the horizon. That'll be open October 28th. But, you know, I certainly think there's a lot of buzz here, not only in the city, but in the nation as we get, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks away from football. You know, I certainly think a lot of people are ready for that. And, you know, I think the contests and the current overlays certainly add to that excitement.
Good stuff. Jeffrey Benson, the Sportsbook Operations Manager at Circa Sports, at Jeffrey Benson 12 on Twitter. Jeff, thanks for coming on Early Odds.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and certainly enjoy the golf as well.
Two Hollywood casino sportsbooks open this week. One of those locations sounds like a cool place to watch a game. PointsBet is opening soon, I think. We'll get some updates and horse racing picks next. You've got Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski every Saturday at 8 a.m. on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Matt Nagy now, he's gonna start a third season with the quarterback he inherited that doesn't seem to have it between the ears to run his offense when he brought in a quarterback he worked with in Kansas City. I can't get past the actions of the coaching staff bringing in Nick Foles. So I'm going down with the ship and saying that Nick Foles will start week one against Detroit.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670 The Score. Score.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score, here every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., like we do every single week. Let's go over to the Cicero area. When there is sports betting news in town, when people hear this week there are two new sports books, they say, Joe Ostrowski, that's cool. What about Hawthorne? When's PointsBet going to be here? I can't push him off anymore, Jim Miller over at Hawthorne Racecourse. I need answers for the people, so can you provide us with a morsel of information?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, things are definitely moving forward. Things are ready to go at Hawthorne. Things are ready to go at our OTB locations. Approval for these to open should be very soon. And I can tell you, when you're looking for a date, we don't have an exact date, but everything I've been told is it's going to be by Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby's getting close. That's the first Saturday in September. So we're getting very, very close to being open, which is a great sign.
That's 2 weeks from today. It's two weeks. If you haven't heard the commercials, the Hawthorne commercials here on The Score. So, yeah, that is really close. We are very close to having the seventh sports book opening up in Illinois. And, Jim, as far as the ponies go today, you gave us Curlin's Voyage at Woodbine last week. I watched that race online. Oh, man, that was just a beautiful coming from behind and then to dominate. Beautiful race, Curlin's Voyage. What are we thinking as far as today?
Yeah, you know what? Looking today, we're going to go to Saratoga for one race, and that's going to be race 9, the $400,000 four-star Dave handicap. The six-horse Uni. This is a mare that's facing the boys, but she's very talented. Makes just her second start of the year. Trainer Chad Brown has four horses in the race. This is the best of the four. She's going to be very tough in race 9. Then go to Hawthorne Saturday night. Race 2, the five-horse Mykonos. This horse should be a good price. Bet the horse across the board. A lot of talent and ability, so we'll look to the 5 Mykonos in race 2. And then in race 10, the 6-horse Lose Abigail, another very good one. This is a horse you're going to see on Night of Champions at Hawthorne on September 19th. And I'll tell you, Joe, right now, go to the Hawthorne website because Hawthorne and PointsBet are teaming up. We're giving away a $5,000 wager on the Kentucky Derby. And like you said, it's very, very close to Derby time.
We are still 2 weeks out, though. Have you figured out what you're going to do with that race, or is that fluid?
It is fluid. Here's the thing. Tis the Law is definitely the horse to beat, and Tis the Law was so impressive a couple weeks ago in winning. So this is a horse you have to use in your gimmicks. But for me, I'm going to look to some up-and-coming horses. I'm going to look to horses that like this track in Kentucky at Churchill Downs. Maybe horses that have raced there and gotten a couple starts over the track. So when the race is drawn on the Tuesday prior to Derby and you have a full field of 20, I know I'm going to have a couple of 20-to-1 shots. We're just going to wait for the post draws and see who they are.
Jim Miller over at Hawthorne Racetrack. Jim, we'll talk to you next Saturday, okay?
All right, you got it. Thanks, Joe.
All right, I tease you that a pretty slick spot just opened up to watch games. One of the brand new sports books in the area. On Thursday, Chris Altruda, my buddy, does a terrific job covering the sports betting space. He visited the launch of both Hollywood Casino books, and he says the location in Joliet is pretty nice.
Joliet is more of a destination area for sports betting. It has a designated area. The 99 Hop House houses their sports book. It has 37 screens. It has two enormous projection screens. You know, it's an area. I mean, you get food. There's alcohol. They serve alcohol there. They also have six of the kiosks next to the sports book in proximity. It's on the second floor. You know how in Joliet, the gaming area is on the first floor, or that like a subterranean floor. As you walk in, you go down.
Yeah.
The gaming area is on the second floor, or the main floor as you walk into the building. So that's there. There are five ticket windows there, and they have six kiosks next to the ticket windows. On the main gaming floor, there are another eight kiosks stationed throughout the gaming floor area.
Why do you think they spent more money to have a destination spot at Joliet and not Aurora?
I think they had the space. I think they had a chance to do something better in the space on that second floor as you walk in. I believe there's also a restaurant on that floor. And there was just space available. When the casinos reopened in July, it was under construction at that point. So you saw the potential of what it could be. And to be honest, I mean, it looks interesting. I mean, the TV screens are not set up in, you know, like this, like, you know, a typical square pattern of, you know, like 37 screens offering 37 different things. There's like, you know, five here or seven there. You have, and then you have these, like, again, these two enormous projection screens that I'm sure, you know, once, you know, the NFL rolls around, you know, knock on wood, that will be a very big draw to that. And it'll be interesting to see how that area does. And then, you know, you can start stacking up how does Casino 1 rate against Casino 2 and so on and so forth. So it'll be interesting to watch what unfolds with those two casinos in terms of just, you know, comparing and contrast.
A couple of minutes of my conversation with Chris Altruda. You can listen to the full 20 minutes in pod form. Just search Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on your favorite podcast platform. Appreciate Jim Miller, Jeffrey Benson from Circus Sports, and Jeremy Coudon for dropping by. In case you missed it at the start of the show, Jeremy credits this show and you, the dedicated listeners, in pushing Governor Pritzker to make the right move and suspend in-person registration in the middle of a pandemic. Very cool. Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel is next right here on 670 The Score. Best of luck, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.